You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, da-ha-dee-da-ha-dee-ho. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
Crime Weaver Tyler.
And I'm Gordy, the Darkened Cape.
Ooh. Sound like either a villain or someone who is fighting a villain. An anti-hero.
This could go either way.
Yeah, you are one of the two, but there is a villain involved.
There is a villain somewhere out there, and its name is the Charmin Bear.
You are somewhere on the justice binary.
Is it a binary?
Yeah, it's good or bad. There's no gray.
So did the Charmin Bear turn to villainy during the pandemic's toilet paper crisis?
Can we get into this? Have we talked about this before? What is your beef
with these bears? I don't like that this bear is parading its anus around in commercials, and I also don't like that on Spotify sometimes I hear like auto-tuned hip-hop singing about how people's ass cheeks are clean. I think...
So you double didn't like it when it became a family of bears.
Yeah, I don't like that it's a family. I think that it was a slap in the face of real Americans trying to buy toilet paper during an unprecedented crisis. I've seen like one bidet company step in and like take the initiative during like a window that may not come again.
Right.
I really should have
jumped on that.
I think they're a step backwards, sort of morally, and just all around. I don't like them.
Yeah, first and foremost, morally.
Yes.
You are making me continue to feel good about my decision to pay Spotify their blood money to stop interrupting my carefully crafted emotional playlists with hip-hop music, toilet bears.
I go back and forth, depending on how much music I feel like listening to.
So what are we reading today?
We
brand
got
new story, right?
No.
What?
No, you don't.
What?
You don't get to. We got a Welwa to figure out.
What
is happening?
A Welwa?
A Welwa.
Well, who?
A Welwa.
What if we
Well, what's on second?
What's on second? That's implies,
the joke, right?
I think. Well, I think it implies that there are some non-human entities playing baseball, and I'm
certainly
interested in watching that.
Well, it's the first thing that we taught to the Grays when they arrived.
If you want non-human entities playing baseball, there is the Twilight movie. So be careful what you wish for.
Because
it's been granted, and it is a disappointment.
Final Fantasy X?
Blitzball? What?
Blitzball, which is baseball, basically, isn't it?
It's more rugby, or
I
like
guess
water polo.
But anyway, it sounds like baseball.
We need to finish the Fairy of the Dawn.
Cats do play it underwater. Big mountain cats.
We does include
remember
the two of you.
What if
remember,
we
Carmen? We talked about it.
What if we saved the end of this story for like 30 episodes from now?
Until it is well and truly forgotten.
Yeah.
It's already well and truly forgotten.
No, I remember exactly what happened.
Oh yeah, you want to tell us?
Yeah.
Okay, go.
There once was a king of Pangaea who didn't know how big his kingdom was, even though it was very small. I think he was just pretending it was bigger to make himself feel better. But Captain America's Civil War was happening on his face,
the
between
movie,
his two
or
eyeballs.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were very cross with one another. So he had three sons, and he told them if they wanted his eyes to not be angry at them or anyone else, they had to go get a MacGuffin, which I don't remember. What are they after?
They're after the water from the well of the Fairy of the Dawn.
That's right. If they could go do that, then the kingdom was definitely secure. No problems. Because if they can go there and come back, no threats whatsoever.
Yeah, no one's going to fuck with them.
First son fails and disappears.
Yeah, they run away.
Never to be heard from again. Second son, same situation.
Yep. Same dragon, same pants.
Never
wedding.
To be heard from again.
Mm-hmm.
Third son, he's cooking. He made it past the dragon. He's on a horse that talks and is beautiful. And he has a file converter that can turn dot Wellwoods into dot horse. He's got several horses in his entourage now.
Yeah, he's got like a miniature horse army, which is a small army of horses, not an army of small horses. They are regular sized horses.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got three additional backup horses, all very beautiful.
Like the Mongols.
Exactly like the Mongols.
Yep. And so they've made their way through a copper, a silver, and a gold forest, having fought the Wellwas of each of those forests. He tried to throw away the wreaths of the flowers that he stupidly picked, even though the horse told him not
Which caused all these Wellwa problems in the first place.
Right, but ultimately ended up in both a horse and a pretty flower wreath, so he did win out at the end. So
no littering.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Yeah, he did try to litter and he got yelled at. And they have reached a wide heath.
And, the Mitwalk.
Yep, this is the kingdom of the goddess Mitwalk, Wednesday.
Adams.
The goddess of Wednesday. All caught up, ready to see where this goes?
Yep.
Cool. Sure. Alright, so the horse has stopped at the edge of this kingdom, and Petru, who is our hero, because we for sure forgot that.
Is it gonna matter, though?
No.
That we know this gentleman's name?
It doesn't matter unless we don't have a name, and, like, four characters of the same gender are talking to each other in a same scene. Mm-hmm. That becomes a problem.
I mean, so far he has only conversed with his father, who we could differentiate because his eyes were all wonky.
Yeah.
And horses.
Yeah. So the horse says, the deeper into the kingdom of the goddess Mitwalk we go, the colder it's going to get. But along the road there are many fires, and I dread what's going to happen if you continue to be the idiot you've been this entire trip. Go off and warm yourself at them, because they are very clearly a trap.
That is a good sneaky trap. If you're setting traps... Sure. If you know that a place is just going to get colder and colder, set some fires. That's going to attract whatever you want to attract.
Definitely moths and probably cold people.
For consumption, I assume.
Yeah. Well, they go in anyway. They don't really even discuss how he's an idiot. Maybe he won't be. And it is, in fact, incredibly cold. He is successfully ignoring the fires, even though rocks are bursting around him because it's so cold. I don't know if this is a thing that, like, I know trees explode when the sap inside them freezes very quickly. I don't know how often rocks explode from the cold.
Well, they're full of sap too. What's the difference?
Rock sap.
Yeah.
Delicious rock sap.
Yeah.
Make some good rock syrup out of it.
Good old Moose Country fine dining. Rock sap.
They made stone soup out of something. Right, and it wasn't just like a rock, because that adds nothing.
Well, no,
disgusting.
They made stone soup out of trickery. That's the ingredients of stone soup.
Well, out of rock sap.
Yeah, rock sap.
Which is trickery.
And evidently highly volatile.
In the cold, specifically.
Incendiary.
Infreeziary?
Infreeziary.
Well, even this boy's eyelids are frozen, but, like, while he could not resist pretty flowers, he does manage to resist all of the warming.
Sorry, frozen open or frozen closed?
They're just frozen, so maybe, like, halfway, or frozen to the eyeballs. I don't know.
So he's never gonna blink again until he approaches a fire.
Yeah, but he doesn't, because, again, not dying of cold is an easier thing for him to resist than...
Touching
cool flowers.
Fine metals.
Yeah. Making a pretty wreath for his head. So we know where his priorities are. But they make it to Mitwok's house. And he goes inside.
How cold is it there?
It's fine.
Oh, so it's just a weird path you have to take.
Yeah, she keeps her place comfortable.
What's
so the
that
goddess...
gas bill look like, though?
Oh, I'm sure it's not great. So the goddess taps him on his shoulder and she says, "Hey, you did good. I'm going to give you a reward for freezing your ass off on the way here." So she gave him a box that had been waiting around for ages for a man who could make his way through her ice kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And she says to hold on to it, because if you open it, it's going to tell you anything you want to know, and it will bring you news of home.
Is it just shit she doesn't want in it? It sounds like the time that my company last year sent me a care package. Like, we know everybody's having a hard time with all this COVID stuff, and I opened it, and it was just like... stale cereal from our kitchen that they had to get rid of.
Nice.
Like, what a thank you for this wonderful reward.
Didn't they also give you like a half full box of donuts?
Yes, and like also it was already all opened. Of the Dr. Peppers that nobody wanted.
So considerate.
Here, a Dr. Pepper in this drying time.
Yeah, the already open half-empty box of donuts was my favorite gift that I've ever seen anyone receive in the mail.
It's my favorite gift to have received.
Alright, so he rides on after leaving her house very quickly, so it's not a long visit. And he opens his box for the Daily Herald inside of it, and the box tells him that his dad is in council right now with his nobles, and his dad is really furious because his brothers have finally returned home unsuccessful, and they are trying to rule his father and the kingdom in spite of the fact that they couldn't even face down one measly dragon. So that's the news from home, in case you needed that bulletin.
Great. What a cool box.
Yep. So he and his bevy of ponies rush on as fast as ghosts, as fast as whirlwinds.
Is that faster than curses? We already had the horse gauge last week.
Yeah, we did. We have a new horse gauge now.
Ghost.
Ghost.
What's on it? Ghosts?
Ghosts.
Wind.
Whirlwinds.
Whirlwind.
And as fast as vampires when they hunt at midnight.
Oh.
All of which are faster than curses.
Right. Not yes. Vampires when they hunt at 3 p.m.
Not these vampires. Lackadaisical vampires.
Yeah. Not vampires when they hunt at 5 a.m., but specifically midnight hunting vampires.
Are
they?
Yeah, vampires with the munchies.
I would think that vampires don't do a ton of hunting in the middle of the day.
Probably not.
No. I mean,
that's when they play baseball.
Yeah. When it's cloudy in Washington. So the horse stops
it's like
him for...
The Vampire World Series is like all of the vampires in Washington. Much like our World Series is just the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the horse stops him to give him some advice. And he says, "Look, you did the cold thing. Good job. I'm honestly impressed that you did not fall for the fires."
You're now one for, let's call it seven. In listening to horse advice.
So now it's time for a heat test. Don't be tempted to cool yourself.
Just get the Goron tunic. It's fine.
Even though this is heat that's going to melt the marrow of your bones. It's the kind of heat only felt in the kingdom of the Goddess of Thunder.
What day of the week is that?
Thursday, I guess.
Oh, shit. Up in the ante.
Yeah. So they rode through this really, really hot place. And there were cool streams with some sexy girls telling him to just come and rest. Just cool down here, littered throughout the land.
Sirens.
Yeah.
Land sirens.
Yeah.
Yeah. The most dangerous sirens of all, the land sirens. But he resists all of these temptations until he gets to the Goddess of Thunder's house. So she's like, "Cool, cool, cool, good job. Here's some advice. You're about to enter the kingdom of Venus."
What a confused pantheon we have.
we do indeed have quite a mix
of
things.
We have the
going
goddess
on.
Of Wednesday, the goddess of thunder and lightning,
yeah,
who
and
lives
just...
in Hot Town.
Yeah.
And
Wednesday's
the
cold.
Goddess of Venus.
Yep. So please give Venus a message from me to not tempt you to delay. And on your way back, come and visit me again, and then I'll give you something. But not right now. don't have anything. I was not expecting you to make it, so I did not actually get you something. I need a chance to run out.
Was not expecting you to make it. By the by, how are those bones feeling? Pretty melted? Haven't got a lot of company lately.
So Petru of Melty Bones mounted again, and three steps away from her house was a new country. So they're very close, conveniently.
Yeah, this empire is leaving a lot to be desired if it has all of these neighbors it didn't know about.
It's a lot of wars they could do and just aren't.
Yeah, it's a lot of missed opportunity for expansion.
I mean, that's why he needs the son who has ventured out into these kingdoms, so that he actually understands the danger and has maybe made some allegiances, because this kingdom of Captain America Civil War Eyes cannot withstand bone marrow heat melt.
But the only people that they have to protect their nation are the land sirens, and you just shoot at them from afar. It's no problem. Just like catapult rocks and hope they don't melt by the time they land.
Well, that's the only people that you have, but you can't catapult at heat.
Well, no, you just win. You don't have to go there. You just win, and then you say it's yours, and then never visit.
You just use it to, bake your frozen pizzas every now and then.
Right.
You keep the pizzas in Wednesdays.
in the locker.
And then you scoot them over the border into Thunder's Kingdom, mm-hmm. and then you got yourself a nice hot meal, and it's not delivery.
Do you think this is what happens in Papa John's head? this is what he thinks how pizzas do?
His mind is just the warring kingdoms of Wednesday and Thunder making pizzas.
Of anyone in reality, alive or dead, Papa John is probably who I would assume his eyes are attacking one another. Actively.
One is controlled by frozen and one is controlled by heat. And both want pizza.
It's the two stages of Papa John's pizza.
Yes. So three steps away is the new country, and he can see the house of Venus in the distance. And he rides his way to the house and is followed by a crowd of shadowy figures that are dancing around him.
How's the weather? Just kind of temperate?
Yeah, it's just like good spring day, I guess.
You need like a pullover or anything?
Maybe like a windbreaker. So the horse tells him not to be afraid. I don't know if he is, but the horse tells him not to.
Has he ever been in his life?
I have seen no evidence of it.
Has he ever been aware enough to know what fear is?
I mean, he's got some cool hats now. What does he have to worry about?
A little is definitely good and worthwhile. maybe like a state of mind he should look into just for preservation's sake.
Yeah, we'll have to send him a copy of The Gift of Fear so that he can understand what he's missing out on. But don't be afraid of these shadowy figures. They're just the daughters of the whirlwind, and they're amusing themselves while they wait for the ogre of the moon.
To do what?
I don't know. We're never going to touch that again.
So we're still waiting.
Yep. They dance and they wait for the ogre of the moon.
All right, listeners. New cult. Moon ogres.
Get dancing.
Love a good moon ogre.
He's coming.
Keep us posted on the status of the moon ogre as it approaches.
Yep. So they get to the front of the house, and he is about to go in when the horse is like, hey, slow your roll, dude. Like, you can't just go into the house. I mean, you didn't even get your bones melted or anything to get here. You think it's going to be that easy? Venus is guarded by the whirlwind, so you need to go take your copper wreath and go over to the hill over yonder and say, hey, oh man, were there ever such beautiful girls? And then hold the wreath in the air and say, oh, if I knew whether anyone would accept this wreath from me. And then once you have finished saying those words, chuck it very far away from you.
Which one?
This copper one.
Okay, starting low.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to blow your gold wreath right in the beginning.
Not for a fucking whirlwind.
No, jeez. So he does this, and as soon as he throws the wreath away from him, the whirlwind flings himself upon it and tears it to pieces, because I guess the whirlwind is afraid that his daughters might be tempted away from their moon ogre dancing to accept a wreath from this dude, and he is a very protective father.
Or is a dog.
Or it's a dog.
Just a windy dog.
The windiest. So then he's about to go into the house again, and the horse is like, no, stop. Okay, knock on the windows with a silver wreath, and when she asks you who it is, tell her that you've come on foot and you've lost your way. And then she'll tell you to find your way back again, like, get lost. But don't move and say, nope, I've heard stories about how hot Venus is, and it is not for nothing that I had shoes made of leather with soles of steel and traveled for 9 years and 9 months and won in battle a silver wreath to give to you. So say all that, and what happens after is your problem. And don't pay any attention to the fact that one of those things directly contradicts the other, because no one else will.
Good, I don't have to ask.
Great. So dogs begin barking at the sound of his footsteps. Mm-hmm. So maybe the whirlwind is...
How windy are they?
It's pretty windy. and the goddess yells out from inside the house, which of these dogs is barking? Is he tired of life?
What?
Which is a great threat to yell at your dogs.
Yeah, try that on Freybug next time she starts boofing.
Who's barking and are you tired of living?
I like to ask that of people.
Just a vibe check.
Yeah. I would say, yeah, just a vibe check. How are we feeling? Are you tired of living?
I mean, pretty tired. It's been a long year.
Yeah, it's been a very long year.
Yeah. I'm not barking tired yet, but I'm close. So they have the exchange. She asks to have the wreath and invites him in. He sits by the fire and he listens to her go on and on about the wickedness of men, agreeing with everything she said.
How hot is she, though?
She is very old.
Mm. Oh. Well,
she has wrinkles it will take 7 lives to count.
That does it for someone.
I mean, it does it enough for him that he is able to fix his eyes on her. I think maybe just counting the wrinkles, but she is joyful to see that anyone's looking at her. So she's not going to question too hard why they might be. And so she continues her diatribe. She says, nothing was that is, and the world was not a world when I was born. When I grew up and the world came into being, everyone thought I was the most beautiful thing they'd ever seen, and many hated me for it. Every 100 years came a wrinkle on my face, and now I am old.
Yeah, that's
she
how
continues.
It goes.
Yeah, it does. That is the inevitable march of time.
That's a pretty good wrinkle-to-time ratio.
It is.
100 years for one wrinkle?
Per wrinkle.
Yeah, like I'm starting to get some. I'm not too pleased about it. So she goes on to say that she was the daughter of an emperor, and the nearest neighbor she has is the Fairy of the Dawn, and the Fairy of the Dawn hates her.
Oh, the title of the story.
Yeah, we finally got a second mention, second name drop. So Petru listened in silence to the most part for this like nattering old goddess who I guess is just excited to have someone other than dogs to yell at. And he occasionally just says, yes, yes, you must have been badly treated. So he's been trained well.
Yeah, that is an invaluable skill, is just recognizing when you should just be like, oh yeah, that does sound really hard.
Yeah, no, everyone needs to learn that skill. Because sometimes when people are talking to you, they don't want you to fix the problem or tell them why it's not a problem.
Sometimes.
They just need you to commiserate.
Yeah.
So she is mollified and she says she'll give him a task. In the fairy's house is a well. We know that because that's what he's after.
Yep.
Whoever drinks from it will blossom again like a rose, or I guess stop wars between their eyes, one or the other. So bring me a bottle of it and I will do anything for you. And she warns him that the kingdom is guarded on every side by wild beasts and horrible dragons. So to help him out with that, she does give him a small flute that will put things to sleep and tells him that he needs to play it the whole time he's in the kingdom.
Oh, the polka flute.
Yes. He will find a Snorlax.
It's pretty good. What what else does he have in that party?
It seems like it's ponytas.
Yeah, it's one Snorlax and 6 ponytas.
It's not the worst you could go in with. It's far from the best.
Yeah. Not a lot of type coverage.
Yeah, I worry that he's going to have some trouble sort of down the road, but...
With that water gym for certain.
I mean, he's going to hit gym two and just screech to a halt on his...
He's going to hit gym two, and of course...
His path to victory road.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So she tells him before he leaves to, like, leave one horse here, I guess, for insurance purposes, and then ride slowly until he gets to the fairy's kingdom, then go on foot.
Is it the least beautiful horse?
It doesn't... Who knows? They're all equally beautiful.
Who knows?
In
who
their
cares?
Mother's eyes.
Who cares what these fucking horses look like? Dumb pieces of shit.
When you return, see that all the horses remain on the road while you walk, and also never look the fairy in the face. She's got eyes that will bewitch you. She's also hideous, with owl's eyes, a foxy face, and cat's claws.
Foxy face, you say?
It doesn't sound too hideous to me. That's definitely not human. Mm-hmm. So you probably don't want to make out with it. Sounds like an interesting face.
Cat claws.
Interesting face is certainly correct.
So he finally gets to leave her house after she prattles for a while. And far away, where the heavens touch the earth and the stars kiss flowers. You know the place. A soft red light was seen. Sometimes, like the sky has in spring. You know that spring soft red light?
Yeah.
You know the one.
Yeah, sunset.
Do I?
You do.
When the day ball goes to sleep?
When it's in the process.
When it, yeah, sort
of. When it's settling down.
Squishes its butt into the earth.
Just gets all tucked in there. So the light behind the palace of the Fairy of the Dawn is this light, I guess. And it takes 2 days and nights riding through flowery meadows to reach it. So he gets to a gorgeous castle and he jumps down from his horse and begins to play the flute as he walks. He comes across a slumped over giant who had been lulled to sleep by the music, so that was a lucky break. And he keeps walking, passing sleeping lions and tigers and bears, oh my, and also some dragons that have a lot of heads. I don't know why dragons need so many extra damn heads, but man, they do. So he makes his way to a river.
Can I go on a tangent? Just because you reminded me of it.
Can I stop you?
No. Damn. So you said the lions and tigers and bears thing.
Uh-huh.
Which reminded me, I was playing Yakuza the other day, and a circus came to town, and a bear and a tiger broke out of their cages, so I had to fight them to get them back in. I knew it would be a rule of threes thing, and I figured, oh, the last one, it's got to be a lion, right? That's the whole saying. It's famous. Everybody knows it. The last thing I had to fight was a chimp and an excavator, which I think is a much better saying.
Hell yeah.
Chimps and excavators, tigers and bears, oh my.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't quite roll off the tongue, though.
It works better written down.
Okay.
On paper
is
how you usually say that, but I say written down.
Never read your drafts out loud. Don't listen to words you write in your out loud voice.
If you've listened to this show for any amount of time, you already know that.
This show has been a long, many years of warning against the dangers of reading a story out loud. So he comes to a river, and you should not think for a minute that this is some kind of ordinary, boring-ass river. Just get that out of your heads right now. This river has milk instead of water.
Hell yes!
This river has precious stones instead of pebbles and sand.
Show me to the Diamond Milk River.
This river runs both fast and slow together, and on the banks
of it... I
want to
live here!
On the banks of this river sleep lions with iron teeth and claws.
I want a hobo with a banjo to sing a song to me about the Diamond Milk Rapids. Something real folksy.
And beyond the river were incredible gardens, and on the flowers slept fairies.
This is the Big Rock Candy Mountain.
The only bridge across the river looked like it was made out of clouds, so he wasn't, like, too sure about it. So, having no other means to get across, he walks back to the sleeping giant and shakes him awake. She's not even going to try that bridge. Swimming, which,
He hasn't seen Mario, so he doesn't know you can just walk on clouds.
Or maybe clouds are just, like, surrounding an ordinary bridge. You don't know.
She didn't even look.
You didn't try. So the giant woke up and stretched out a hand to pick up Petru, but Petru played on the flute and made him fall asleep again.
What was the point?
He does this 3 times.
What?
Then he ties the two little fingers of the giant together with a handkerchief. I guess, like, handcuffs, but only partly. Just mildly inconveniencing him with two fingertips, like his two pinkies tied together.
Just trying to get him into that, like, super sleepy state of grogginess when you first wake up.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, if you do this too many times, you just really confuse somebody. He draws his sword and he wakes him up again. And the giant is like, "This is not a fair fight, you coward." And Petru made him promise to carry him across the river if he fought fair. And the giant agrees. And I guess he unties his fingers and they do a battle for 3 days and three nights again.
Just check the bridge. You've wasted 3 days on this process now.
And Petru wins the battle. Because of course he does. So he binds the giant's left hand to his right foot, and he ties a handkerchief around the giant's mouth and another around the giant's eyes, and he leads him to the river.
Am I getting kinky with this giant?
It does seem a little excessive. The giant sets him on the other side, and he plays the flute again, knocking the giant back to sleep. And also
he falls in the milk river and drowns.
Right, also taking out some fairies who'd been bathing down the creek in the process.
It's just an EMP blast. Yep. Of sleepiness.
So he gets to the castle, which of course is made of gold and precious stones, and also has stables holding the horses of the sun in it. Just as a side note, they don't matter. They don't fucking matter. Just so you know, they're there.
Good.
He makes his way very quickly through 48 empty rooms, and he finds the Fairy of the Dawn in the 49th, and the well is in there too, and it clearly had been there for hundreds of years, and she was just kind of working a bedroom around it. So she was sleeping by the well. No mention is made of her face or of any of the descriptions Venus gave her. And as Petru looked at her, the magic flute drops by his side, and he holds his breath, and nothing fucking happens. Near the well was a table with bread made with a doe's milk, and also a bottle of wine.
They milked the bread?
They milked a doe to make the bread.
They milked a loaf?
No. They milked, like, a lady deer. Doe a deer. Female deer.
Oh, not like a pizza.
No. Would you eat bread made from milking raw bread?
Only if it had been frozen in Wednesday's Kingdom. Before being baked in Thursdays. This, of course, is the bread of strength and the wine of youth.
Of course.
That we've not mentioned before, but he knows on sight and really wants. Go on.
No.
Fine, then.
I was just saying so he does it.
Well, as he looked at these things, a mist came over his senses, and the fairy opened her eyes slowly and looked at him. And even though he was losing his head, he did remember the flute in time and sent her back to sleep again, and then kissed her 3 times. Because, again, no mention made of her fox face. And the illustration is, the illustration in this book was just of an ordinary blonde lady. So
yeah, with a foxy face and owly eyes and cat claws.
I guess if you go with the colloquial term of foxy, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the like, animalistic descriptor.
The Vulpen.
He kisses the sleeping fairy 3 times and puts the golden wreath on her head, then eats a piece of her bread, drinks a cup of the wine, does this 3 times, then fills 2 flasks with water and vanishes out of the house. Her garden, in case you were wondering, now looks way nicer because of the kisses he'd given her. Somehow.
No, I refuse to believe that.
He gave her 3 kisses and her garden got better.
I refuse to believe there's a correlation.
That's the only way I can garden.
Getting kisses.
Getting
from strangers.
I need, yeah, just go out.
Sleepy kisses.
Just go out in my nightcap with my little lips puckered up. And I say, please, my flowers.
Wake up the next day to a bountiful flowers. Harvest.
He makes it safely back to his horses with no other adventures in this kingdom other than noting that making out with this fairy has made her garden grow.
He told himself.
Yep. Then he gets back to the house of Venus, following all the instructions to the letter. Gives her one of the 2 flasks with the water. And she's like, cool, thanks. And then he keeps going until he visits the goddess of thunder again, like he promised. And the gift that she has purchased for him after, like, being able to quickly make her way to the store is a warning to beware for his life. Make friends with nobody.
Don't worry about it.
Don't lose the water. Believe no one and flee flattering tongues.
Oh, don't worry. I don't need advice on not making friends.
Pretty good at that.
I talk exclusively to horses.
Take care. The way is long.
And they fucking hate me.
The way is long. The world is bad. And you hold something precious. She also gives him an enchanted cloth that protects anyone carrying it from lightning strikes, lance piercing, sword smitings, or arrow hits. Specifically those things. So he thanks her. Then he checks in with his news box about home. And the news box reports that the emperor is now completely blind. His brothers had tried to get him to pass on the responsibility of the kingdom, but he has refused because, again, they did not prove that they can actually protect the borders. So I guess
they made it back.
Yeah, we already got the first news report where they made it back and they were, like, bugging him about controlling things.
I ignored that.
Well, that's fine. It's probably healthy to ignore a lot of news. So the brothers are planning to take the magic water from Petru when he returns. Petru yells angrily at the box that it is lying, and then he throws it on.
So it is a TV.
it is very much like watching the news for the past year.
Love to yell at the lying box.
Yeah, and then he throws it on the ground, and it breaks into 1,000 pieces, which I'm sure we have wanted to do with our news boxes.
I want a talking pizza box.
Do you want the pizza box to tell you news, or do you just want it to talk about pizza?
I want it to lie to me.
You want it to lie to you?
Yeah.
You can totally have another slice, and it won't be a problem for your health.
Just soothe me with sweet lies, please, pizza.
So he gets closer to home, and he stops to look at a bridge, I guess is like a sightseeing thing, when he hears somebody calling his name. And his horse is like, hey, let's get out of here. Fuck that noise. And he's like, no, let's see who it is.
It's a friend.
Yeah.
I want to make friends.
It's his brothers.
Hey, brother.
And they come up and they use some soft and flattering words.
Yeah.
And he jumps off his horse to embrace them. And they're like, hey, let us carry your water. And his horse neighed a warning. And he remembered the Goddess of Thunder's words about not trusting a damsel. And he tells them.
Also, he saw the lying box.
Fuck that box, Tyler. That box didn't tell him shit. It's all the words of the Goddess of Thunder. And he tells his brothers about the cool cloth he got from her.
Good. I bet that was a good story.
Yeah. He's like, look, I got a cloth. You can't strike me with lightning or a sword or anything. So his brothers, hearing about the cloth, instead of, like I assumed, trying to steal that, they just accept that there's no way they can kill Petru or get the water from him. So they leave, never to return again. And Petru goes home to his father, washes his dad's eyes with the water, restores his sight, and got the eyes to laugh together forevermore, for now he knew that he had one son who could surely overcome any foe to keep the empire together. The end. And that is the Fairy of the Dawn, who now has a sweet garden.
Yeah.
Because of sneaky sleep kisses.
Yep.
And then there's an after credits scene where the moon ogre touches down.
And the war no one thought was coming was upon them.
Samuel L. Jackson comes in, or maybe it's the other guy. I don't know what happens in like that after credits sequence for the Avengers or something.
We got a lot of loose ends in this one.
Oh, I don't remember.
I mean, we got our moon ogre.
Mm-hmm.
We have just, like, some extra horses lying around.
Let them.
What's
wrong with that?
I guess these horses could maybe be the origin for the Baba Yaga herd. Once this guy dumps water on his dad's eyes and leaves the horses to their own devices, they're just like, well, fuck it.
Finally, we can get the hell out of here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then they go hang out with Baba Yaga.
Baba Yaga, don't tell anyone. We used to be Welwas.
That's our secret. We also have a stable full of horses that belong to the sun. I don't know what you could do with that, but it's there, and we know it now.
Like Helios.
Yeah.
Not Petru.
No. The Fairy of the Dawn keeps the Skyball's horses on her property. So yeah, it's just like, there's a lot of world building.
I don't view that as a loose end so much as a needless detail.
aren't they the same?
This was not aptly titled.
No.
No, but are they ever?
She didn't feature very much, and when she did, she was asleep.
She briefly opened her eyes.
I mean, that's Sleeping Beauty, though, isn't it? Same thing. She barely features, and she's asleep the whole time. I also haven't seen that movie in a long time. Maybe she's in it more.
Yeah, she does get, like, a little bit of time in the beginning for us to have some idea that she is a person who is alive and awake.
Speaking lines.
There's not a lot of personality, but there's a little.
And I expect none. Less characters with personality, please.
I want so much to keep track of. Names and personality.
I want them all to fade into the background so I can focus on other things in the story.
Like moon ogres that don't show up.
Yeah, moon ogre is good. I would like this to be a lot more moon ogre centric. That's the biggest fix for me, I think, is what if the moon ogre crashed like halfway in?
Yeah, like we did not follow the rule of Chekhov's loaded moon ogre in this story at all. Like, you show me a moon ogre in, at this point, the second act, and it should fire off by the third, but no ogres. Well, at least we know where Baba Yaga's horses came from.
Finally.
And that's the
question answered.
Yes, that's the real meaning of the story. This is like when they make prequels to describe really small plot details from beloved film franchises that no one cares about. And mm-hmm. they don't have enough story to shore up the plot hole fixing that is the real motivation of creating that movie.
It's like a whole movie about Han Solo, so you learn why he's called Solo, because he's alone.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
I didn't either, but I did see the Screen Rant pitch meeting for it. And that is worth watching.
I didn't watch it.
But yeah, this is Solo. This is that movie of
the fairy tale.
Of our fairy tale universe to explain where Baba Yaga's horses came from without ever seeing Baba Yaga, the actual character we care about.
The shitty, inconsequential side adventure that they went on before meeting her.
Yep. So maybe it's Rogue One. So thank you all for listening through this tale, learning what happened with the well was, which was not a lot. Thank you to everyone who has been following the show on social media, tweeting about it, etc.
Tumblering about it.
Yeah. Thank you to all of our patron supporters for keeping the show running.
Thank you.
Thank you for those of you who have joined us on the Discord to create fresh new crimes every week that we cannot predict.
That last one was pretty good.
Yeah, solid criming.
The title one. How did you end up making the calculation?
I combined both the actual votes for the horse one and anyone that clicked the horse button.
Okay, that seems fair.
I mean, you had to do a lot of scrolling to even get to the original.
To get
voting.
Back up,
yeah. So it was a well done crime on multiple levels. Good job, team. So thank you for criming things up, and you too can create crimes for us to deal with in our Discord for only $1 a month. The low price of a criminal enterprise at your fingertips.
Or if you want to get in on this hip new cult that's about to pop off.
Yeah, if you want to be one of the founding members.
You want to get in on the ground level of Moon Ogre Enterprise.
It's $1 a month, and that title can be yours. And thank you, of course, to our top tier patrons. Mother of Rats, Lily, Becca once more rising from the swamp, Kelly, Elsie, Katarina, Tasmanian Tiger, Funky Little Strawberry, Lemur, Spaghetto drinking deep at the trough of gender fluids, Caitlin, Danielle, Wyatt, Soapy Fae, Olwen, Queen of Terrible Taste, Allie, Mothra is the only good moth, Colobus Cat, The Day Dune, Pyrus, Kelty, Nathan the Scott, Alex, Nelical Cats, Plato's Allegory of the Dave, Maya, Greg, Goetic Prince of the Arcane, Hylaestis of Wimbus, Yahweh, Little Smorgasbord, Haley, Dominic, Justin, Ladybug, use hashtag what Ladybug extort on Discord to decide, Izzy, Heather, Hi Meow Lady of the Cult of Cricket, and Jenna. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you always, Doug.
Thank you, Doug. Gordy, do you want to do a Kickstarter reminder?
Yeah, by the time this comes out on Tuesday, my Kickstarter campaign for a tabletop role-playing game called Reliquary will be live. So you can go and back it at the link in the description, or you can go to ttrpg.link/reliquary, and that should take you to it. You can get a PDF of the game for like $8, or a print version for $15, and there's some other stuff above that, but go check it out or share it.
All right. So yeah, thank you for checking that out. And thank you always, Doug. Oh, wait, we did that.
I'll thank him again.
Yeah.
I'll thank Doug as many times as it takes.
Thanks, Doug, for Gordy's Kickstarter.
Thank you, Doug.
We're What the Folklore, and that's how it works.
Hold on, I want Gordy to say it.
Thanks, Doug, for my Kickstarter, assuming that it funds. If not, then curse you, Doug.
Thanks then, for nothing,
then how dare you
Doug.
Do me like this, Doug?
How dare you do him dirty, Doug?
Gordy, damn it, Doug.
After
Gordy
everything.
Brought you to the masses, Doug. We're With the Folklore, and that's how it works.
Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she lived happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.